You know, often we say how much we appreciate seeing everybody here, and we may sometimes take that a little bit for granted, to have the opportunity, to have the health that will allow us to come together, to be able to see loved ones and brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's always a blessing to be able to be together. We should never take that for granted. It's good to see here. It is good to see everybody out this morning. I did not mention anything about Ron Daly. It's been a couple of days since I've seen anything about him. And I know it's had a rough week. There's been hopefully the trend line is going in a positive direction. But I know that he's had a few setbacks and some improvements. So just keep him and his family in your prayers as they deal with his recovering, rehab, and all things that go on with him. It's going to take quite a while to get over that. As good also, of those who are in the bulletin, to keep those in your prayers. I will say, if you looked at the outline, that it reminds me some of J.P. Miller, I believe he's the gospel preacher. He said he got invited to preach someplace and got there. He had one lesson. And at the very beginning of his preaching, so he only had one sermon. And he said he found out once he got there that he was supposed to preach three lessons. And so what he did was he preached from the beginning of the first lesson all the way down to the bottom. And then the second lesson, he preached from the bottom up to the top. And then the third lesson, he started in the middle and worked outward. And so we have, if, no matter which side you look at the outline this morning, you're on the right side. But you know, that's the first mistake I made since probably this morning or yesterday. And so anyway, we'll have a lesson tonight, not the same lesson. I'm not going to preach this one from backward to forward. But we did want to talk about something this morning that's very serious. And hopefully that whenever you pick a subject, you want something that's relevant. But sometimes you say, I hope it's not too relevant. And this is one of those situations this morning that we want to talk about getting out of abusive relationships. Now, many of us have been around people that we have either suspected of being in an abusive relationship or we know. And hopefully nobody here has been involved in actually an abusive relationships. But we know from events on television, maybe of talking to friends, that they are around us, and often they result in very tragic situations where lives are destroyed, people are harmed for the rest of their lives, depending on what exactly happened. And there are situations where you think somebody has to do something, somebody needs to help. And there are sometimes organizations of people that will step in and help. And whenever you deal with an abusive relationship, you have to realize that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that you have to get out of it. You have to do something so as to get out of that abusive relationship. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. And first of all, just kind of definition, when we talk about abuse and looking at dictionary.com, and it says as a verb, it means to use wrongly or improperly. Misuse, that is like for us to abuse one's authority. And as you take something, you use it for something it's not intended to be used for. When I was growing up, that one time I was out hunting, and there was a snake that I looked at, and I had my shotgun, and so I used the butt in my shotgun and killed the snake. And I got home, and Dad said, why'd you do that for? You know, I had misused the shotgun. That's not the way it's supposed to be used. And you may see other things people will take, and they'll simply, again, use it improperly. And whenever you do that, then honestly it breaks down. It's not intended to be used that way, and therefore it does not function properly afterward. And then also it means to treat in a harmful, injurious, or offensive way, such as to abuse a horse, to abuse one's eyesight. We can talk about, again, the idea of taking something and intentionally trying to harm it. Intentionally tearing up something, and you know you're doing it while you're doing it. And sometimes people will do that. And it also, as the third definition, deals one more with the idea of relationships, and that is to speak insultingly, harshly, and unjustly to or about somebody, and to revile or malign. It says all these are kind of used in the sense of being abusive, or to abuse something. And as you look at that, you think about there are various cases where abuse can be in different categories, so it can cross categories. And that is, it may be either physical abuse, where you talk about hitting or striking or breaking arms or breaking other parts of the body. And it may be emotional abuse where it's not anything physically somebody's doing to you, but you have use what some would call emotional warfare in the other person. It may be mental, again, closely connected with the idea of emotional abuse. You try to make them feel inferior mentally or verbal. You may not ever do anything to them, but you may verbally abuse them, call them names, or keep on maligning them with your speech type of abuse. And as I went online just to find some terms or some signs of abuse, and let me stop by saying that I realized my limitation in dealing with this subject. And I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a sociologist, I'm not a therapist, and like many of you, I read my Bible, I hear people talk, I see people in their activities, and so some of these things I can relate to, and others I cannot, as far as what people go through. But it can be signs such as a person, they want to isolate you from friends or even family. And that they always get upset if you go out with your friends or if you are go see your family and they want to dominate your time. A number of years ago, I happened to be down at Bowling Green, on the campus down there, and there was a young lady and a young man. They were talking and just like kind of walked by during the conversation, couldn't help but overhear some of it. But I understood what was happening was the young lady was having to justify going out or being with her friends for a while. And I thought, now again, I don't know anything else about that relationship, but that'd be a little warning sign to me. If I have to try to justify where I spend all my time. Another would be they tend to insult or belittle you, even when joking. Now we all know that we sometimes jokingly, good natured jokes about each other, about ourselves, but this here crosses that line where you're intentionally trying to hurt somebody by belittling that person, insulting them with their jokes. It could be they blame others a lot. And oftentimes it's you. It's never their fault. You know, the person that gets angry and lashes out somebody else, it's not that they have an angry issue. It's the fact that you made them mad, that you kept on pressing them. Therefore, it's your fault that I did this. It may be a case of alcohol and drug use that causes erratic behavior, can be a catalyst of abuse. You sometimes hear about people talk about the person when they get drunk that they become friendly. They're the friendly drunk. On the other side, there's a person when they become drunk, then they are the abusive drunk. They become angry and they strike out at people. The same thing about drug use, same kind of drug use. And it can cause that. They instill fear, uneasiness, or intimidating or speech or actions. Now again, that is their intention. They want to intimidate you. They want to make you afraid of them. And so they do this in ways so that they again have the upper hand over you. And then also I said, they punish you or retaliate for time you spend away from them, which is Roy Hyland's Connected Course's first thing, is they want to isolate you from friends and family. And so if you do something away from them, then they will do something to punish you for that. And then also they expect you to be subservient, but aren't helping themselves. It's always about what you can do for them and not what they can do for you. In other words, it's the idea of the abuse here. And then they're extremely jealous of your time, relationships, and or aspirations. Again, this kind of overlaps some things we said earlier, but it's a case of extremely jealous. I take from that definition right there is key. They manipulate your emotions, make you feel guilty. They want you to feel bad. That actually makes them feel better about themselves if they make you feel bad. And there are people like that. And finally, they get physical. Obviously, hitting someone is abusive. Physical abuse can start as intimidating posture, grabbing, controlling your movements and space. And so that was simply off one of the websites that I was looking at for symptoms or signs of abuse. And again, hopefully nobody here has faced those things, but I know that these things happen. And honestly, when you get in those kind of situations, people say, well, what should I do? What is the solution to these things? And a lot of times, strangely enough, the abused person feels that there's something that they need to do to make the relationship right. You know, that if my husband's always abusive, then something I need to do better. And so we may try to justify the other person even. And really, when you look at it, the solution, though, is get out of the relationship. And that's where it starts at. That is, you have to get out of the relationship that is an abusive relationship. And then there's some other things you can do. And so we want to talk about for a few minutes here some abusive relationships. And some of these, again, we look at and realize that hopefully nobody here has ever been a part of this, but it may be the parent and child abuse that goes on from time to time in our society. The Bible honestly teaches that we are to love our children. Parents in Ephesians 6 verse 4, fathers, not provoke your children wrath, but bring them up in the train and admonition of the Lord. The idea of bring them, nurture and admonition of the Lord, some translations saying there, and that means to provide what is needed. It means to provide what is lacking. And that may be the physical things of life. It may be the emotional things in life that children need. It may be the hugs. It may be sometimes the stern talking to. But those kind of things. It may be sometimes some discipline that's necessary. But fathers, and these things are sometimes hard to do, but the Bible says that's the responsibility of the parent. And then also we find, though, that the Bible says about older women and teaching the young women. It said that they must, the young women, younger women, to love their husbands, to love their children. And that's not always, just natural. That sometimes may think, well, that's such a natural thing to do. But notice here he said that the older women are to teach the young women to do this. There may be some things, and to love their children, that are not just always natural. It may sometimes be hard to do some of the things that children need. But basically the Bible says parents' responsibility is to take care of their children. Now again, sadly, sometimes children are not in that kind of relationship. They're not loved as they should be. There may be neglect. They're neglected. It may be that they are physically abused. I know from stories about my papaw, that he would go off to work and he would work for railway lines. And we come home on Friday night. The first thing he did was he lined up all the children. And first thing he did was he would literally beat them. And his rationale for that was he knows during that week that each woman had to do something wrong. And therefore he was making up for it. He was punishing them that night to make sure that they understood that they were being disciplined. Now that's the kind of solution. That's some situations children grew up in. And as you look at that, we find that means then that, again, we read about other situations I was trying to find the news account, couldn't find it, but it was a case where a family had been discovered where the mom and dad had literally locked the children in cages. And they had basically were starving the children to death, just kept enough food for them to be kept alive, and was not, again, providing them clothing or taking care of their bodily needs, and they finally arrested them. And you just kind of wonder, how can parents do that to their own children? Other cases may be, again, where there is broken bones or even death of children because of the parents, their abuse of the children. And what that tells me is that they are unloving. They lack what the Bible calls natural affection. In fact, I believe this NIV translation, it describes the Gentiles as without understanding, covenant breakers, and then without natural affection. And that would be an active situation. If that doesn't lack natural affection, I don't know what would. When you find children are in that situation there. And we have a biblical example of this. And one that lacked natural affection. And this is Manasseh the king. When we read about Manasseh the king, we find all the testable things he did. But in 2 Chronicles 33 verse 6 says, he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And literally what that meant was that they would have an altar there, and this talks about it, Christ who's saying, use witchcraft, sorcery, consult the mediums of spiritists. He did much evil inside the Lord, the provoking anger, but what they literally had was an altar that would be heated up with fire, and they'd take their children and lay them on that altar and burn them up. And again, if that does not lack natural affection, then I would not know what would. And whenever you see that, our reaction would be, somebody needs to do something about that. Somebody needs to help them get out of that relationship. That children have to realize that that's not a natural relationship they're in. That's not loving. And hopefully as children grow up, then they realize that that's wrong. And hopefully they break that cycle. And so, but we find here that is one kind of abusive relationship that we look at. Another would be the boyfriend-girlfriend abuse. And I could put up here the spousal abuse also would fall in this category, but often this happens as people are dating and maybe the young guy has some of those symptoms we talked about earlier, that is they're dominating all the time or they get angry and they may decide to slap somebody, slap the girlfriend, or she gets angry and she slaps her boyfriend. And the other person thinks, well, you know, that they really do love me. They just don't know how she'll love. And after a while, they become a part of the property of somebody else. And again, there's intimidation there. And the problem is that they lack genuine love. That they can think of love in the wrong way. The Bible says there are some things love will do, there are some things love will not do. Love is displayed by action, not just by words. And the action that is unloving, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love does not envy, love does not praise itself, is not puffed up, does not seek, behave rudely, does not seek its own, does not provoke, thinks no evil. Down verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity. And so the person that gets angry because of success, the person that gets angry because you're not always concentrating on them, but the person that gets angry and abusive because that makes them feel better. Again, that's not love. That is an abusive thing going on right there. And so never think that that is somehow love. And yet sometimes that is misinterpreted by people. As really, they really do care about me. Look how much they want to be with me, or how much they want to, and how much of my time. Well, that's not love. And we find love is defined, and love is patient. The love suffers long as kind. And that is, love has these qualities. And goes on verse 6, last part of verse 6, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is patience. And so these are the qualities of love that we need to seek.